Last Friday, Attorney General William Barr directed me and the 92 other U.S. attorneys to prioritize the investigation and prosecution of coronavirus fraud schemes. In order to do that, I'm enlisting the assistance of the public to report suspected fraud schemes related to COVID-19 and coronavirus pandemic by calling the National Center for Disaster Fraud, the NCDF hotline, at 1-866-720-5721. That's the National Center for Disaster Fraud hotline at 1-866-720-5721, or by sending an email to them at disaster@leo.gov. That's disaster@leo.gov. Some examples of the schemes that we're seeing include individuals and businesses selling fake cures for COVID-19 online and engaging in other forms of fraud, phishing emails from entities posing as organizations like the World Health Organization or the Center for Disease Control, malicious websites and apps that appear to share coronavirus-related information in order to gain access to your device and then to lock it until payment is received, seeking donations fraudulently from illegitimate or non-existent charitable organizations, and medical providers seeking to obtain patient information for COVID-19 testing and then using that information fraudulently to bill or test for other procedures. Washington has also directed that each U.S. attorney appoint a coronavirus fraud coordinator to serve as legal counsel for each of the districts on matters relating to coronavirus, including prosecution of coronavirus-related crimes and conducting outreach and awareness activities. Here in the Western District of New York, I've appointed Assistant United States Attorney David Rudroff to serve as our coronavirus fraud coordinator. The National Center for Disaster Fraud can receive and enter complaints into a centralized system that can be accessed by all 93 of us U.S. attorneys, as well as by the Department of Justice litigating components and law enforcement partners, and to be used in order to identify, investigate, and prosecute fraud schemes. The NCDF coordinates complaints with 16 additional federal law enforcement agencies, as well as with the state's attorney generals and local authorities. My message to those who seek to exploit the pandemic for their own personal gain by stealing others' money or identity or both is simple. We will find you and we will treat you, and your treatment will include prosecution in federal court and, if convicted, isolation in federal prison. On Saturday, March 21st, a civil complaint and court papers were filed in Austin, Texas, against the operators of a website claiming to sell World Health Organization COVID-19 vaccine kit. Needless to say, there is no COVID-19 vaccine currently available, and this was just a scam. A federal district judge sitting down in Texas issued a temporary restraining order to take down the fraudulent website, which was at that point charging $4.95 for these non-existent vaccines. I am calling upon responsible web hosting facilities and web domain registrars to monitor and quickly shut down any website designed to facilitate these sorts of scams. I'm also calling on the public to report these scams to law enforcement immediately. After canvassing our federal, state, and local law enforcement partners here in Western New York, we have not yet received any reports of these scams locally, but I guarantee you that they are on their way if they are not already here. States which are hardest hit by this virus and those with thus the most people working remotely, states such as our own here in New York, California, and Washington, are likely to be at the highest risk. I would also note that most of these actors of these fraud schemes, the perpetrators of these fraud schemes, are from foreign countries. More generally, I'd also like to take this opportunity to address the public about remaining vigilant during these difficult times. In the 30 years nearly that I've served as a federal prosecutor, I've come to recognize that when people feel as though their survival is threatened, they sometimes make really bad decisions. Whether it's resorting to criminal activity or looking the other way in an effort to protect their own, when people feel threatened, they often respond in a way that makes them feel as though they are in control, whether it's resorting to criminal activity to support themselves in times of financial hardship, or whether it's refusing to cooperate with law enforcement for fear of retribution. People want to feel as though they are in control of their situation. In this current situation, for some people, that response includes the need to buy all the toilet paper and hand sanitizer they can get their hands on. So while we all know that fear can be a great motivator, As individuals and as a society, we need to balance our emotional and rational responses. When this balance between emotional and rational responses gets out of whack, and when our emotional response predominates, that's when panic sets in. Emotion overruns logic. If everybody who experienced financial hardship decided to commit crime, our nation would be overrun with crime. And if everyone who is fearful of criminal activity occurring in their neighborhoods refused to cooperate with law enforcement, we would never succeed in getting any criminals off the street. Last fall, I produced a couple of PSAs that talked about the importance of self-governance. And when I did that, I certainly had no idea that we would be dealing with this pandemic situation. But the messages in those PSAs, in the context of fighting crime, seems particularly apropos today. Our nation was founded on the ideal of self-governance. And too often, when we think of self-governance, we think about how we go about electing our officials. But what self-governance is really about is how we go about electing to live our lives. That is, the responsibility and obligation that each of us has to control and govern our own behavior, to live morally, to balance our emotional and rational responses. In times such as this, when we are tested, we must reaffirm our commitment to engage in self-governance and to unify in order to uphold those aspirational values which lie at the heart of our identity as Americans. As Americans, our identity depends on not where we came from, who we are, or what we have, but instead it's all about what we honor and uphold. Notions such as equality, justice, and fairness, and perhaps the greatest legal precept ever devised, the Golden Rule, served as a signpost on our collective journey toward unification and continued survival. We call it the American way. And it is our commitment to that American way that has guided us through troubled and uncharted waters in the past, and it will carry us through these difficult times as well. When it feels as though there are a lot of things that we don't have control over right now, each of us must recognize the control that we do have and make the best possible choices to maintain our own well-being and the well-being of our fellow citizens. If we do that, we will get through this, and our people, our communities, and our nation will remain resilient, vital, and healthy.